PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, my friends, to episode 34 of Off Course. I'm your host every week, Dan Edwards. You can find me on social media at Canadan Golf. You can also find Off Course at Off Course THP. With me this week is none other than Chris McEwen. He is a buddy that I made last year shooting some video over at Club Champion headquarters in Chicago, doing some incredible video content for us there. He also hosts the Golf Origin Stories podcast, which happens to be one of my favorite podcasts out there right now. If you're not familiar, he can definitely plug you there. And I'm not just saying that because he invited me on and I feel super special. So
hey, you Chris. Are super special though, Dan.
Hey, Chris, how are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
I'm so excited. This is something JB and I were talking, like, we got to get Chris on. He's a good dude. He's got a really cool thing going on with Golf Origin Stories. If anyone out there, I don't know why they'd listen to my podcast without listening to yours, but give people a primer as to what they can anticipate with that experience you got going on.
Yeah. So Golf Origin Stories at the end of the day is really about when, how, and why different people fell in love with golf. So we all have our golf origin story, and I have people on that are inside the golf industry like you. I have, you know, I've had a former NFL football player on, I've had musicians on, people from all over the place, you know, this common bond of golf. And I just have them on and we talk about some other things, but we end up talking about just when the game grabbed them and never let go.
Yeah. And I didn't mention everyone can find you on Twitter. Yeah. That's where you are mostly.
I am on Twitter at Chris McEwen. That's Chris with a K, and Instagram and YouTube under the same handle.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're sitting in Chicago right now and I can't get over this because you jumped into video with me and my backdrop is a wall with a painting unchanged over the last, you know, however long. And yours is they're just pure Chicago. We've got lights, we've got buildings. It's nighttime right now. We're recording on a Monday, so we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But like, what a different layout. I mean, we're talking golf eventually. We might talk about golf anyway. Right. But you know, we're in such a different place. It's kind of cool.
It is pretty cool. Yeah, I'm like about 150 feet up from the ground. And over my shoulder here, this is my office, so I get to look out at that. So I get a little glimpse of the outdoor world while I slave away in my office.
I am an office chair away from the ground. So, so yeah, it took me for a loop because I'm like, you know, I'm chilling in my house recording this and you're like hanging up in the air, drinking things. So I mean, I could go in 100 different directions with this, but we're in kind of a weird year right now. And you're kind of caught up in that city life, which I'm sure is a lot different at this point than it was maybe a year ago at this time. What is golf like for a guy who chills in a high rise half his day?
Yeah. So I drive a lot to golf.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot. So Chicago is really well known, I feel like, for its private golf courses. Mm-hmm. You know, so your Medinas and Olympias. You know, courses like that. But if you want to go to some really good public stuff, you have to travel a bit. So I've got about probably a 40 mile radius from the city. And a lot of, like, I'm the only one out of my kind of group of golf pals that live in the city. So we try to sort of meet somewhere in the middle. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we, you know, and it was kind of funny, before this year, actually, I didn't own a car. So a lot of times I would get like, cause I didn't need a car. Like we just walk everywhere.
Sure.
And, I would just rent a car for the day or whatever, like every Saturday, every Sunday, like the enterprise people knew me by name. I walked in and they're like, "Hey Chris, you're playing golf this weekend?" Like, yep. Need a car. And they would just throw me keys. They wouldn't even like do the usual check. And they're like, "Here you go. We got you." And they send me on my way.
That's funny. Yeah.
And then I just decided finally, like, all right, I'm going to get a car. And you know, there's all kinds of things when you live in a city that come along with a car like that, you have to, you know, there's street parking. Cause I don't know, it, like in my building, well, in every building, the parking spots in the garage is a separate piece of land.
What?
Yeah. So you buy a parking spot, and I'm not going to get into the costs of parking spots in the buildings in my neighborhood, cause they're obscene, but yeah, it's, I mean, you pay property taxes on it. It's a whole thing, man. You have, it's like, it's for real. Yeah. City, all the city dwellers are like, yep, yep, yep. It's true.
Well, let me blow your mind and say I'm about 10 feet away from my car. There's happens to be a wall in between us, but I pay the same property tax on that as I do on my house. So.
So lucky.
Yeah, it's weird because I'm in, you know, suburban Ohio outside of Cincinnati. So my commute to the course is 5 minutes in my own car with no traffic. Right. I don't talk to anyone at Enterprise to get there. It's such a funny thing.
It used to be, yeah, for me to plan like golf, like it was like everyone talked about like this year because golf is like booming.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, we have to book our rounds so early in the week. But like, mm-hmm. That was pretty normal for me because it's a whole thing to get me to a golf course. So but not anymore. I'm an independent car owner. So I can just get in a car. I can actually just get in my car and drive to the driving range if I want. It's like, it's crazy.
Well, hey man, Indy's not far away. We might need to hook up in 2021.
We should. I'm in.
Yeah. That'd be a good time.
I'm in. That'd be awesome. And I got a Prius. So I wouldn't even, it would be like a tank of gas. Oh,
easy. See? Easy. Cheap. So when was the last time you played? Was that the Fonseca round?
No, I played last weekend.
Oh, good for you.
As a matter of fact,
because it's been really nice here in the Midwest.
Yeah, we got, I think this may have been the last, we'll see if there's some kind of, cause I'll play with when it's pretty cold out. And yeah, but it was probably 50 degrees when we, you know, on the back nine. So with the sun shining, so it was fine. You know, not too much wind. It was good.
Did you play well?
I played okay. I was actually shooting video. So it's kind of difficult to kind of split my brain. And yeah. So I have to decide like which one do I want to do well? Right.
Okay. So, yeah, so obviously you pick golf, right? Right.
Well, it all depends. It's like the first three holes, if I'm playing pretty well, first six holes, if I'm playing pretty well, you're going to get a half-assed sort of video. But most of the time my videos turn out like top notch because I'm such a bad golfer.
Oh, wow. So I played this weekend, and what I am assuming, considering it's now snowing outside of my house, to be one of the last, if not the last round in 2020 for me. And in true 2020 fashion, I couldn't make a 3-foot par putt scramble out of the sand on 18 and made a bogey.
Ugh.
So like, you know, 2020 as a whole, and I was under par. So it was, like, all right, let's finish this round with a bang, you know, put a good number up before the year's over. And nope, pulled it left. I'd say I pulled it. I'm going to blame, you know, 100 other things. Right. Looking back 2 years, maybe 3 years, when I'm telling my son about that one round in 2020, I'm definitely going to blame someone else or something else. But yeah, a bogey to finish is 2020 in a nutshell for me.
Yeah, I went birdie, birdie finish.
Oh, not to you are done.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't finish under par or even close to par, but wow. I did finish birdie birdie. So that was fun.
Are you not like an internet golfer? Do you not spend enough time on the forums? Because all you have to
I don't.
If you say, hey, look, how'd you play? I finished birdie birdie. No, but what'd you shoot? Does it matter? Or like that's when you kind of fade off into the sunset.
That's right. Like, that's you like don't you do the Homer Simpson into the bushes thing when they ask you what your final score was.
Yeah. I mean, that's huge, man. What a great way to cap off 2020 if it is in fact the final round, which you know, realistically.
Yeah, so, most likely I would expect it to be done.
So down here in Ohio, we played in it was like I want to say it was 45 degrees, but the sun was out and it was beaten down. It was really nice. Like mm-hmm. I expected it to be miserable out there. And I think most of the time, cause we have Ohio's pretty flat. So we get quite a bit of wind down here.
Sure.
But I don't think it's anywhere close to the wind you guys see up there. So for us, for like a low wind day, 45 is definitely like maybe a one hot hand kind of day, not like two hot hand kind of day, you know? And we made it through, like it didn't feel bad. What is your threshold when you get out there?
probably around that. I would say it's got to clearly has to be above freezing. Like I don't really like my hands being cold.
Yeah.
It's not fun for me. I can deal with anything else really, like, but once my hands get cold, man, I'm not happy anymore. So probably around 45 degrees, I think. And that's probably, it was probably a little colder than that when we started, but you know, it was fine. I feel like, you know, the Midwesterners, we've got thick skin and you know, we don't really, whatever, it's fine.
Yeah. I'm an importer from Ontario, so.
Oh, it's
usually it takes a little bit more than just cold weather to get me off the course, but the white stuff's not that scary, but it's harder to find my ball. So
I mean, we played this year. We were just talking about, cause I played with the same guys this last round that I played our first round of 2020 in, and that was in January. Cause the course was dry. It was somewhat warm and enough.
You're in. Let's and just
we,
like,
yeah, we went.
The sun shining. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That was a rental car experience, wasn't it?
It was a rental car experience. It's true.
So are you a hot hands guy? Do you take the hot hands out there? Are you familiar? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure.
So I found out about a new product by Bag Boy. They have a battery powered hand warming. It looks like an external battery. It's about the size of like between that and a cell phone. And you just hold it in your hand and it heats your hand up.
Is that like I think Zippo makes something like that too.
I don't know. Bag Boy did it, which is like, it's like one of those products that you say, why the hell didn't every company like that make one? Because my life would be so much better.
It's really true.
They go a step further of saying it's also like a power bank too. So,
oh, man,
Mr. Chicago plays in January. I think
I have to get my hands on one of those.
Pursue one of those. Yeah, we were chatting about it on THP last week. They saw it. I saw it and I watched a video. I'm like, why don't I have like five of these? Like, these are stocking stuffers for every golfer I know.
Right. I'm surprised I haven't gotten gifted one of those.
Yeah.
Cause like, I don't know about you, but like, I'm the golf guy out of everybody. Oh, like,
family?
Yeah. Family, friends. They're like, oh yeah, Chris is the crazy golf guy.
Yeah.
And so I'm surprised that, you know, I don't just get these random sort of golf gifts. Like, lots, well, you like golf here.
Yeah. Lots of sleeves of Titleist DT distance, right?
Oh, so many. I got, that's really funny. It's not like gifts of that. It's like, I had these and I'm just going to give them to you. Right.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
it's all the logoed stuff from outings or whatever, yeah. Like all this, all the tees that are from like,
yeah,
United Airlines or whatever thing it was. Like, I get all those, like, okay, great. Thanks for those.
Well, it pays to be known that, that's who you are and that's what you are, because when you guys hang out, you know, they're going to expect Chris is going to be talking about golf at some point, right?
It's true. It's true. It's a given. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so in well over a decade ago, my wife, then I guess fiance or girlfriend, determined that I needed to find an outlet to engage with other people because she didn't want to listen to my golf and or hockey stories. So I guess it's her fault that I'm now all over the internet.
Yeah, little did she know.
Social perspective. Oh man, so it's her fault. She doesn't have Twitter, so you can't get mad at her on that.
I meant to ask you how you're. I know when you were on my show.
Yeah,
I think we talked about you were going to try to be more, social on Twitter. How's
that going? So and that's kind of the funny part, because I've been on the THP community forums for over a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like my go-to place. It's a really decent group of people. Like, it's just
for sure.
You get the kind of engagement there you don't expect to get anymore on the internet. And especially after Rona season and the election. It's like, yeah. I don't know about social, man. And right. The problem is you have such polarizing perspectives that it's almost cheating to be able to go to a place and just talk about golf and talk to people who like are halfway decent from a, I don't want to treat you badly if you say something that I don't agree with sort of way.
Right.
So yeah, I've got Twitter up all the time. I'm still trying to find that balance, man. It's so hard.
It takes a little while to curate. I think I feel like you've done pretty well though. You're present. You have fun with it. You know, you keep it lighthearted. I appreciate
I understand that that there are golfers to be engaged with everywhere, and that has become such a passion for me to experience the game from every level, meeting new people, talking about the game with people with totally different opinions. I love that.
Yeah.
And I know that while I absolutely love the THB community and go there for just about anything I want to do when I'm talking specifically about golf and product, it is so refreshing to go out and see who's out there and kind of grow my own little footprint, I guess. And
yeah,
with off course, I think it's appropriate that I should be at least a little bit of a participant, knowing that my audience is a little bit broader than that. So yeah, thank you for asking that. I totally forgot I even said that. I remember talking about mini putt and
yeah,
you let me just ramble about, you know, my my origins myself. I don't remember talking about social, so that's pretty funny.
It's true. I remember.
So when it comes to you,
yeah,
what are you playing right now in the bag?
Oh, what am I playing in the bag? I'm playing
I'm gonna stop you there. Is it mostly new stuff?
It is.
Okay.
So I've got I've got the Cleveland UHX irons.
We talked about those. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got those and I love them.
Yeah.
I've got some Tour Edge stuff actually that I just got this year. So I've got their
love.
Yeah, for sure. I'm kind of pals with some of them there. And so they took care of me with some wedges. So I've got their blade wedges, which, they're great. Love them. Mm-hmm. The best addition to my bag in 2020 has been their 3-wood, the 220 EXS 3-wood, which is just, it's an incredible club. I don't know if you've gotten a chance to hit it, but my goodness, is that just a wonderful, wonderful club. I love the thing.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah. And then, the only other thing, I'm also playing the frontline putter. I am playing a mallet. I apologize, Dan, for that, but I am.
I am not opposed to people playing a mallet at all. I love that people play mallets. I think it's great. I say play whatever club works for your bag. I just do not agree. I 100% oppose the idea that mallets are the absolute. That's
I wouldn't say that. I do have a blade putter. I'm a very moody putter. I feel like everyone sort of is this way. And that's why I think everyone needs more than one putter, in my opinion anyway. So I also have a Ben Hogan.
That's what I tell my wife.
Milk face. That's right. But yeah, so I also have another blade putter that I'll play around with. And then you can't see in the rough camera, but I've got a really old, my grandfather's putter that I will play just because it feels like home. It's like kind of the putter I grew up on. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'll bring that out if I'm really struggling and get a little Grandpa Earl magic back.
That's coming to Indy with you, right?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah. Nice. Do you have any, I have a whole bag of vintage clubs. You want to play a vintage round?
I don't have vintage clubs in a full bag.
Okay.
I have my grandfather's old putter, which is unbelievable. I'll have to send you a picture of it.
Should play. Yeah, we definitely need to play then.
I could definitely do that.
Yeah.
It's this old wooden, unbelievable thing. Then I've got a Ducks Canada chipper that he had gotten for some reason. Wow. I have this random persimmon. I don't think it's a driver. I think it's like a 5-wood. Okay. Those are all going up in the wall at some point.
Oh, that's a good one.
Because my grandfather, as we had discussed, is by my estimation, a superior golfer to me.
Yeah, of course.
Based on the difference of the generations. He's got holes in ones. He's got tournament wins. He doesn't remind me of it. He's actually very subtle about it, but you know, I don't.
He knows that you know. He knows that you know.
So I don't remember when we actually recorded, but I put up my low round this year. I put up a big number and I called him and told him about it, and I think he just kind of shook his head. But that for me that's the ultimate, man. I don't run around the internet because I know there's 100 people, you know, within 50 miles of me who are way better than I am.
Right.
But being able to take it back to Papa is what I call him.
Yeah.
And say, hey, man, I did something cool today. I really want you to know about it. That's the depth for me, this personal part of the game. So it's cool. I got a couple of his clubs here. I've got some of his old trophies I'm going to put up on the wall.
And oh, man.
It's cool. We kind of share that experience because you've got, you know, that old piece of equipment. You can always just fall back.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. 100%. When my grandfather passed away, and when he did, I didn't play golf at the time. Like he was the one that kind of, he was the best, man. So he belonged to a country club and they lived on like an acre or two of land. And he would put out buckets of balls for us in their backyard, you know, in his backyard, and we would hit balls forever. And then when we got done with the bucket, we would just go and do something else. Right. Okay. But grandpa would go out and pick up every one of those golf balls and put them back in the buckets, never said a word to us. And when he passed away, the first thing I did was went straight to his golf bag and grabbed a bunch of stuff out of it.
That is such a cool story, man.
Yeah.
I would imagine beyond just being passionate about family, he loved the idea of presenting the game to you guys because he knew
100%. You
know, what it could mean or could be.
Yeah.
And it's funny, man, how these older generations, they kind of don't really sort of push the things they love on you.
Right.
You know?
Right. It's true. They would just be like, I'm gonna put this bucket of balls here with a couple of irons and we'll see what happens. Right. And you get three balls. I had two younger brothers. We get, you know, the three of us go out there and just bang balls until we're tired of banging balls.
Man, that's so fun.
Yeah, it's the best.
I'm going to go in a totally different direction now because I have to ask this question.
Okay.
It's been eating at me ever since I dug through your Twitter, and I do that. Oh, I can't do that. You are a bread maker.
That's right. I am a bread maker.
You are the maker of bread.
I am.
And I'm not talking about winning money on the golf course. I'm talking about actual like sourdough.
Yeah. From bread. Scratch.
It's What's true. The story, man?
So I'm one of the weirdos that took up sourdough bread baking in the early days of the lockdown, you know, like there was a whole trend.
Yeah.
And so I'll tell you my sourdough bread origin story, and everyone will fast forward this part, but that's fine.
Sure. They're probably fast forwarding already. So,
right. So it was actually my wife. So I had no interest in any of it. My wife bakes like, you know, cookies and banana breads and all kinds of stuff. She loves to bake. And she tried the sourdough thing very early on when we got locked down. She's like, I'm going to try. She printed out some recipe, tried it out, and it was a disaster. She's like, I hate it. I don't like it. So the difference is, like, she will take a recipe and sort of kind of follow it, right? But with sourdough, it's very scientific. You're weighing your flour and you're weighing your water. It's a whole thing. It's very, you know, you're talking about hydration percentages. And there's this whole, it's this whole different sort of side of baking, and it was not for her. In the meanwhile, I saw it and I'm like, this is my deal. Like, I'm into this. Like, this is super cool because you kind of grow, like when you use a starter to bake bread, you're growing a starter. It's like a science experiment. Basically, you're growing yeast with water and with flour. And then you know, it's crazy, man. It's so much fun. It sounds so stupid when I say it out loud, but it's so fun. So yeah, I really got into it. And I actually it's so ridiculous. I'm going to say this, but I feel like just yesterday, I think it was, I told my wife, I'm like, I think I've really hit my stride with my bread making.
Would you say your handicap improved in golf or bread making?
Bread making by far. I, you know, like when you, I don't know, like you were probably you grew up with the game and you're, you know, a natural and you probably broke 100 when you were what? A single digit human being. How old were you when you broke 100?
I was always one of those kids. You had to work extremely hard to get good at something. It was never
so
like,
you appreciate this because so the difference, like when you break, you know, like when you break 100 and you break 80 or when you break 90, it's a pretty quick improvement. Like you can do it pretty quick. At least I did. Like, but then the grind from 90 to 80 is a little different, right? To break 80.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why the percentages of handicaps are out there what they are, right?
Yeah, right. And so I feel like I broke 100 and broke 90 really quick in bread making. And I was like, I got this. I figured this thing out. And then from getting to 90 to 80, it was really, really hard. There were some setbacks. I had to sit down with myself and have some really, you know, deep discussions about about bread making. And I eventually, now I feel like I'm making some really good stuff. It's really, it's so much fun. And I mean, we have bread in the house. Wonderful.
Yeah.
It's delicious. We used to have
my mom would make, she would make homemade bread in the mornings before we wake up.
Oh,
and I'll always remember that, the butter just melting into it. And
yep.
Walking out the door with this big, huge hunk of bread in your mouth. This is breakfast. Fine.
That's what I do. I have the 100%. But it's fun because you can, like, now I'm expanding my sort of repertoire. So I started with like simple sourdough loaves, but now I've moved to like sourdough babkas, and I'm doing biscuits, and I'm doing like some, I start to infuse different things. So I made a loaf of bread with bacon inside of it.
Oh no.
So yeah, it's been really, it's been quite the thing. Yeah. When we meet up in Indy, I'll bring you a loaf of bread.
It better have bacon in it.
It will have bacon in it.
I think it's pretty telling because what you put on Twitter looks absolutely spectacular. So usually bread doesn't look good unless it tastes good, in my perspective. And we're not talking about like your standard over-the-shelf Wonder Bread from the K. Rogers street. No. It's like big time. You are big time with bread making. That's cool, man.
It's like a 2-day ordeal. So it's really like the last step of the bread making, and all my fellow bread makers will understand this, is when you shape that loaf to get it to look the way it does.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it right, you've just burned 18 hours basically. So you, like, there's a lot of pressure to get that thing right.
Wow. That's cool, man. I like
that. It's so much fun.
We bought a bread maker, like one of those junk ones, like the whatever bread makers at the start of the, the Rona outbreak, and we made like one or two runs of it and didn't really stick. Mm-hmm. What we super into was the Instant Pot. Like, oh my God.
I've heard that's really great. I have not ventured into the Instant Pot. I did get an air fryer.
Okay.
Which, I'm very happy about.
We got a Ninja one and it.
Oh yeah.
That thing, dude.
It's amazing. Yeah. But
my wife, she would always say like, I'm not the kind of person who's into cooking at all. Okay. And she, not super creative, by her own words. I'm not taking any of these things.
Right.
Okay? By my own words, she says, I'm not that creative. But then she can get on and find all these crazy recipes, and it's just kind of like dump, 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 button, button, button.
Right.
Phenomenal meal. So we had like chicken lo mein tonight. I had like 2.5 bowls. Oh, I can't believe, man, I'm even awake right now and functional. With how much I ate. So yeah, dude, I don't know. We got with the bread making, took me into Instant Pot obsession.
I should venture into the Instant Pot universe. I've heard really great things. You're probably at least the 15th person, probably, I would bet, that has told me about the Instant Pot.
It's the beauty of 2020, man.
High
quality meals are at your fingertips. All you got to do is dodge everyone with a handkerchief around your face. And
that's right. That's right.
So did you, we got to get off food, man. We got to talk a little bit about golf, right?
Right.
Did you catch any of the, I guess it'd be the final match of 2020.
The match three?
I watched
most of it. Yeah. So what I did was I stayed off of Twitter because I knew everyone would be talking about it.
Yeah.
And I gave it about a half hour on the DVR so that I could just kind of cruise through it. Right.
It's before or after you let the bread rise a little bit. You got old man McHugh.
That's like, right.
I'm muting and fast forwarding through the commercials. I can't do it.
That's right. So yeah, but I did watch it and it was fun. Phil Mickelson mic'd up is a thing, man. It's love him or hate him. And I'm not like a huge Phil guy necessarily, but, just, listening to him talk through shots, just like the last time, the last match, talking about, what he's going to do or what he sees or how he's going to play this, was a lot of fun. And then it also, the other thing that was really telling, I think someone else posted on Twitter, was how good, it's another reminder of how good the pros
are. You talking about my part?
Was that you? Did you post that? Yeah.
If this has done anything for golfers ever, it's just given a boost of self confidence.
It's so true, man.
Because really you true. see, You know, and I was happy. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't watch it. I followed a lot of the coverage online, the live updates, the video, little bits and bobs or whatever you want to call them.
Sure.
But I did not. I don't have cable, so I had no way of actually watching.
Okay.
But what I got was that Barkley doesn't suck as bad as he did.
That's true.
At golf, but he's still struggling.
Yeah.
Indicative of the, I think it's pretty unfair that they would give him the shot tracer off into the desert. That's so cruel, man. It's
so mean. It's so mean. But you know, it's true. So even with a PGA Tour, I mean, not just a PGA Tour pro, this isn't just any pro, it's Phil Mickelson, right? Yeah. Playing with a really, really bad golfer, it still was kind of a mismatch. He's just that good. And on the other end of it, a very low handicap golfer, you know, we saw this with Tom Brady when he, you know, in the other match where he was whatever, he's a 5 or 6 or whatever. And he, you know, a 5 or 6 handicap or a 1 handicap can still have a bad day. And it's a bad day, man. It's not like a bad day where he shoots a 74. It's a bad day. He shoots an 83 or whatever it is. So
I was reading a lot of comments about the handicaps that were set up, and it's like, I don't care if you've won Super Bowls, Stanley Cups, NBA final trophies. I don't even know what they're, does that have a name?
It does have a name.
Yeah. That trophy,
but
whatever.
I don't know.
I'm a fan of watching it. I'm just not that into it. regardless, you go on a golf course. This is an individual sport that focuses purely on you, your errors, your solutions. I don't necessarily think just because you've been there and seen it in a different sport means that it's going to apply in the same way in golf. And these people are giving Curry a lot of grief about his +1. People are giving Peyton a lot of grief about him not talking. Maybe he was just trying to figure out his game. I don't know. I think people get a little bit too wrapped up in the handicaps when these non-professionals come in, non-golf professionals, athletes come in and play and experience that. That's such a tough thing.
Right. And there's no way they could. So here's what happens, right? Because in the social media world anyways, Curry's a +1. Let's say he shoots a 68. They're like, oh, he's a sandbagger.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I looked up his handicap, by the way.
Or whatever, and they're like, oh, he's the worst.
Yeah. I looked up his handicap. He's a +2.3.
Okay.
And I offered to give him a stroke aside to come and play my place, but I haven't heard back. So I guess I'm not that big yet.
That's funny. I invited him on my show too. I haven't heard back. So
Hey, you shoot your shot, right?
Right. Right.
So did you watch all the other matches that went along this year?
I did.
Did you have one that you liked the best?
I thought
we had Phil and Tiger with Peyton, and Brady,
right?
I thought was a mess,
right?
The weather did them no favors,
yeah.
And then you had the Wolf, Rory,
DJ,
Ricky. And Ricky,
yeah,
that's where they carried their own bags is kind of quirky,
right?
That was a little bit of a miss for me,
yeah. That was that came off as kind of it actually did the match a favor because it came off so flat.
Yeah.
Like any sort of interaction and commentary was like, wow, this is so much fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of cool because it gave Wolf a boost in saying, hey, I hit the ever loving hell out of the golf ball. You should probably pay attention to me this year.
That's true.
That was neat to see him get that little boost.
Yeah.
I
like that guy too, man.
Yeah. He's fun to watch.
I like that guy. Yeah.
Super into that.
Yeah.
And I don't want to answer the question. So you've got 4 to pick from. Which one was your favorite?
It would have probably been really with the original Tiger Phil, even though the rain did, you know, kind of make things difficult. But like, there are just certain moments that I remember, like Tom Brady telling Chuck Barkley to suck on that, Chuck, right after. I thought that was like, there's those little moments like that were really kind of just enjoyable to me.
maybe it's more Barkley on commentary than
that's true too.
Actually playing.
That's true too.
I'm gonna tell you right now, man. My favorite one was the third one, the one with Rory and JT, who I believe.
Oh, that's right.
In that
one. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Tiger's like chilling there, you know, being Tiger.
Right.
And then you have Johnny out of place, felt like Justin Rose. He didn't seem to fit into the whole mechanic at all.
No, he really didn't. It's true. But yeah, JT and Rory were a blast. Who is your, if you're programming the next match, who are your guys?
I don't know. I joked around saying that that Rory should go back at JT, but JT should take the old Papa John's guy to see if he could get, because all Domino's conversation. That was killing me. It's funny to me though, because I feel like every one of these matches has had one guy that just hasn't really, you know, it's like the moment wasn't really with him.
Yeah.
And I'm a DJ guy through and through. I want DJ to win pretty much any tournament he steps into.
Yeah.
In ridiculous fashion, because I think he's that one guy right now that has that whole different category of play.
It's true. Yeah, he's on a bit of a different sort of level.
Yeah. So I'll give him that. He was the dunce of that match. And then
that's hard though. Like, it's hard. I mean, not everybody can be, you know, JT or Phil or whatever. Well, you know, they're just not going to be those guys. Yeah.
You gotta put that kind of person into the spotlight.
Right.
And let the experience be the bigger tell.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's fair to think that a guy like DJ, who his performance is typically based by his skill set.
Right.
You're not going to put a mic on him and get gem after gem after gem.
Right. When everyone, when people are tuning in, you know, not just for the golf, like we watch, like the golfers watch golf.
Yeah.
We all watch golf, but like these sort of events, I feel like you're trying to bring in the non-golfer or the like sometimes golfer or the maybe interested golfer or whatever. So yeah.
Right. And I want to see them put in the guys who just jaw at each other. Cause I think a lot of the times what golf is missing is that like direct level competition where people grief each other. Like in football, I don't know why people get so into it. I'm like iffy with it, because I grew up watching hockey, so it's like you nut up or shut up basically is the standard in hockey. Whereas in football, they got like all the dancing and the taunting and all that stuff. So like finding a happy medium between those two things, where you don't just go and deck a guy and you don't just go like do like a river dance in front of him after doing something good. You got to find a happy medium, right? And I think guys like JT and Rory are going to be out there just yucking it up. What I thought was really interesting, and I feel kind of silly I didn't include it in this, but there was another kind of invitational based match that Bryson was involved in, and he was kind of hilarious.
Really? I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was I feel bad that I can't actually think of the name of it, but man, he was giving it to guys. He was trying some crazy things with the distances he could cover. It was really fun to watch, and not so much because of the caliber of players or anything like that. I think it was it Morikawa, and I don't know. It doesn't matter.
Oh, was that one of the
Kevin
like
Kevin Na?
Yeah. Yes. That was in Vegas, right? That was like the Wednesday charity thing.
I'll trust you and say it was Vegas.
I think that's what it was.
We're going to delete this whole section and just edit in the correct thing.
Right.
Anyways, but the whole point is you get a guy like Bryson who half the world just wants to hate. And the other half is like, let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
And suddenly you get this guy who's actually kind of likable and entertaining when he's, you know, in a position where he doesn't need to be like hyper intense guy.
Yes.
And if you put a guy out there with the right people, maybe not JT, maybe not, you know, Rory, maybe some different kind of guys. I don't know. I think Tony Finau would be a ton of fun in one of those.
I agree with that too.
Cause Tony's like super chill, but he's kind of got a little quiet cocky to him.
Right. He can for sure.
And he's kind of a stud. So like, like from a shot making perspective. So, and you know, the whole half the broadcast will be guys like offering him ankle bracelets and you know, things like that.
Right.
So, yeah, I think they just didn't find the perfect four. I think that was the problem this year. And I really hope they refine it, because there's so many good ways to enjoy the game. And it doesn't have to be like, we need the four best golfers in the world. We need the four longest hitting golfers in the world. We need the last four major champions of the world. Like, that just, it's a miss. It's going to be a miss every time. I think with this game, with the way it's played, you got to find those four guys who will just make it more than just about golf, eh?
Yep. Yep. I think I want like four dudes on like the sandbox at a par three course.
Oh,
like just screwing around. You know what I mean? Like, everyone just chill out and play, you know, these short courses and have a good ass time with them. I think that'd be fun.
You know, I think it'd be super cool. And I want to say they were going to do it and never did. Was it Rory or Ricky and someone? We're going to do like a under the lights kind of thing in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And that never happened.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Someone backed out of it.
Yeah.
And it was, that's right.
I want to see like a little nighttime showing.
That'd be fun.
And I think it'd be super fun to bring in some different types of guys. Maybe it's like, I guess you couldn't do it like crazy, but you could bring in like a, like a Jamie Sadlowski or, you know, bring in like a Brooke Henderson.
Yeah, there you go. People have talked about that. I love that idea.
I think that'd be super cool to see. Yeah. Or even Lexi, I don't care. Someone who holds their own on the LPGA and says, hey, I'm going to come and show you that we are actually pretty freaking good at what we do,
right?
And showcase their talent a little bit, because I don't think a lot of people realize how good the LPGA players are.
God, I would kill.
It's almost ridiculous.
Half as good as one of those.
Well, I remember back in the day, a couple THPers played with some LPGA players, and their minds were blown.
Oh,
they're
man.
Like, what they do and how they do it is impossible. But apparently, I'm trying to get my way into a match with Noel, who I think owes me like eight or nine strokes a side at this point.
I heard you begging for strokes on that episode.
It didn't stop there. It went straight to social.
That's
and
true.
Has continued That's on. True. The more she lays on, I'm threatened by anyone who can swing comfortably in sandals and flip flops, fall on their face. That's scary, man. I'm already intimidated. So that's at least three aside. So. Yeah, we'll see. I hope they keep doing stuff like this next year. I want them to showcase golf as a fun sport. I saw on Instagram, there's this incredible coach with insane amounts of energy hyping up this kid who's trying to hit a driver, and kid whiffs in his first one. You know how kids are, man. They get they get emotional quick, and you can tell he's getting down, and the guy's like, no way, dude, we got this, we're gonna do it. And the kid goes and pipes the next one, and this dude's all over him like, yeah, man, you really hurt that ball. I don't know what it did to you. Like, that's the kind of stuff I want to see in this game. And I want to see that like front and center, so people realize, number one, Barkley prove we're playing a different game than they are. Number two, we can have a hell of a lot more fun doing it if you let the game be an enjoyable experience.
Yep.
Casual, fun experience with your friends. And let's be honest, man, this could be like the sport moving forward with the way this world's going.
Right.
You're about to move outside the city.
Right. I know. You know,
downtowns are going to be emptied.
I know. Like, I live here because I'm a mile from my office that I don't go to anymore. So like, why am I here?
Yeah. Oh man. So you had mentioned you're really into some of the courses up there, but there's a lot of private. Is there a place in Chicago that, number one, you've played and you think is superior to all, and or a place that you are desperate to get on that you haven't been able to?
I would love to play Medina. Medina 3 would be amazing to get on. I haven't been able, you know, I haven't asked anyone. So if anyone's out there and they want to bring me, that'd be great. But no, I mean, we certainly have some favorites that we play. You know, Harborside, it's a 36 hole sort of, it used to be private, I think, years and years ago. But it's very linksy, very wide open. Mm-hmm. And so that's always fun to play. It can be super windy, clearly, because it's, you know, it's just Chicago. South of the city, right? So you kind of, you get some of that lake effect wind that we were talking about, I think off mic, but so we'll hit that one, which is a little higher price, but there's some really good, you know, Ravislow, which is kind of an architecture geeks, one of their favorites because it's a Donald Ross course that used to be private, that has since gone public, and it's got all the same, they've done a really good job sort of,
flatten the greens.
What's that?
Every Ross, I think, has like a turtleback green and it drives me crazy.
Oh, for sure. Oh. For sure. And matter of fact, you get your first turtleback. There's the first par three that you play. It's like a 200 yard par three turtleback green. You're like, no, great.
There's some older gentlemen, from the Sandbagger Cup listening to this podcast, a group of guys. I pre-Rona would go down to South Carolina and we played this course called the Pearl.
Okay.
And I bought a ball marker before we went out and played, and every damn green was turtleback, and they were all brand new greens. They just redone them.
Oh,
so they were firm and slick and nothing stuck.
Yeah.
It was the most frustrating experience. And I was like hovering like a one to a zero at the time. And all I wanted to do was play well. These guys that I can play good. And oh my God, I hate Donald Ross.
Blasphemy. No, but that's, we do love that course. There's a course in I play it usually two or three times a year because it's a little farther out, but the Chicago kids will know it. The Highlands in Elgin. Fantastic golf course, just an absolute blast to play. And that's kind of where I grew up as a kid. So I was there when they kind of renovated it and redid the whole thing. So that's always a good one to play.
That's actually a THPR staple, man. We had an event there a few years ago.
Is that right?
You got to play it. Yeah.
Oh, it's fun, man. You go around the quarry. I used to play my first sort of three or four seasons as a softball player. We're right in that, so the softball fields behind that.
Okay.
Behind the golf course. So yeah, that golf course used to be part of, maybe it still is, but it used to be part of the college that's right across the street. And it was called like Spartans Golf Club or something, cause that's their mascot. But then the city bought it and renovated it and turned it into a great place.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I want another crack at it. So I'm coming to play because I shot, I had 17 pars and one bogey and I'm so mad about it.
What holds you bogey?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
All I remember is just being,
that's a good round, man, because that place is tough when the winds go in and you have to have some elevation you have to deal with. And
that is a really, really fun course.
And it is a fun place.
Totally different than what you'd expect at a Chicago.
Yeah.
When you look at it. So we're kind of at the end of the show.
Okay.
But what I like to do is put people on the spot right at the end and say, is there anything you want to ask me, even though you've already grilled me pretty hard on golf origin stories?
I asked you how Twitter was going. Yeah, you answered that. You
snuck in some good questions. I'm not used to that.
once a podcast host, always a podcast.
Yeah,
host,
right? I love it.
I don't know what. Let's talk about 2021. Have you written out? Have you planned out anything for the podcast or for your game or
the podcast? I'm just hoping we can continue to have an awesome experience and provide interesting, unique content to anyone's willing to listen. I cannot thank, and I posted this on THP and probably on social as well, but I've had some people reach out to me and say that that's one of the favorite things of the week is to get to Friday and listen to this podcast, and that I never thought it would get to that point. And I'm just so grateful that people would not only feel that way, but feel strongly enough to reach out and say it. So that just drives me to do more and do better. So hopefully next year I'm really pushing hard to turn this into a video podcast. I think that'd be a lot of fun, or in addition to. So
that would be fun. You do a good job, man.
Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. I'll put
it on a public record. No, you do a good job.
Thank you.
And I think you have a really natural sort of style to your show.
Wow. That means a ton. I'm not great at compliments though, so I'll just kick it over to the other thing. So golf game specific. I talked to JB last week a little bit about kind of doing some weird stuff in the bag. I don't want to play with a fairway wood. I'm going to play every round next year without a fairway wood in the bag.
Really?
That, yeah, I've got a 17 degree Callaway Super Hybrid that I'm going to turn down to 16, and I'm going to play that in any condition where I'd play a fairway.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that will be, why not?
Okay.
Fair enough. Let me ask you a question. How critical is a three wood to you?
So the three wood is my sort of safety, my like security blanket if my driver is a disaster.
And wouldn't you think it'd be easier to hit a hybrid?
It is easier to hit a hybrid.
Okay. So
100%. In fact, the hybrid I'm playing has sort of, cause it basically, I can get the same carry almost, with the three wood, except it's a draw biased hybrid, right? Like all hybrids are basically. And so it's a little more, fun to hit.
Yeah. Honestly. Well, so my perspective was, and I put this super hybrid in the bag late last year at an event and was absolutely obliterating the ball, like stupid numbers. And I determined that I don't really play distances where it would be problematic, mm-hmm. To where I had to add a club instead of my three wood. It's no big deal because I'm typically hitting my three wood, which is set to like 14 degrees as a driver replacement, and only doing it on tighter holes. So I'm like, all right, if I pull it back and more confident club, I've got one extra club, maybe two extra clubs into the green. And I have a whole nother slot I can work with. And I haven't decided what that's going to be because I am a firm believer, Mr. McEwen, that we do not put anything more than 58 degrees in our bag. So what that means.
I'm cool with that. I like that rule.
To be determined.
Okay.
So that is the big one. I stuck with a single ball this year for the entire posting season. It was a super cool experience.
Is that the first time you've ever done that?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. It's fun, right? So I did.
It's weird.
Last year was the first time I ever did that. It's awesome. Yeah.
Well, I'm into it. And I'm talking like every found ball I gave away.
Yep.
My dad had no problem with that. Right. my boys had no problem with that. And I stuck with one ball and it was fun. It was different. We always talk about getting fit, but then we get, changing balls, and I firmly believe this, changing balls changes the whole dynamic of what you're doing.
100%. I'm so on board. Yep.
Yeah. So if you fit, stick to the ball. And I know it's not a cheap thing, but they do sell, there's a lot of ways to get your favorite ball, whether it's, found, lost golf balls or whatever, whether it's on sale, previous generations, whatever it is, find something that works for you. Commit to it. And I want to hear people come and bring this back to me because I'm going to start a thread on THP and say, how hard would it be for you to do it? Now, you've already proven that it's not impossible because you did a year before I did. So,
yeah. And it's really funny. So I noticed it. I don't know where you noticed it most, but I noticed it on the putting green more than I think anywhere else. Like I would, if I played like a different, like if we're just playing like this weekend, like I used whatever ball I had because I'm not recording a handicap or a score or anything. We were just kind of out there playing, and screwing around. And like the first time I hit a putt with some other ball, I'm like, that's trash. I can't do that.
They do sound different. The compression levels, the core covers, the cover, they're different, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to, and I'm just talking like going from Bridgestone Tourby X to Bridgestone Tourby RX.
Sure.
It's a totally different sound. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny that you did that. I didn't know you did that this year.
Yeah.
It's cool, man. Yeah. I'll never, like I have my golf ball now and that's my golf ball. And that's the end of that. I mean, I'll go and still do like the kind of fitting process. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I will tell you the one time I did find out, and I won't say which ball it was because it doesn't matter. It's any different ball. We were playing in the member tournament and it's alt shot. So I had my preferred ball that I would hit off the tee. Mm-hmm. And then he'd hit his off the other tees and that I'd play his ball in. And I had whatever the number was, I think it was like 195 yards. And I've been hitting the ball pretty far. So I pulled my, I want to say it was six iron, but might've been seven. And it's probably six because there's a bit of wind.
Okay.
And I came up exactly 5 yards short of what I wanted to.
Yeah.
And what dawned on me afterwards is like, I don't know how that happened. I hit it perfectly. I did everything I wanted to do, which is not a usual thing. Like usually there's a little bit of miss. You're like, oh, right. Okay, yeah, I get. So we ended up in the front bunker, long story short, plugged, not a happy thing. I'm like, 5 yards. Where did those 5 yards go? And then I realized a week later after doing some testing that my ball is exactly 7 yards longer.
Wow.
Than what that ball does. So it's like, okay, that explains everything.
There you go.
And so I'm no longer doubting myself on a good right. swing, right?
Yeah, that's right.
A silly little thing, right?
Yeah. I think it makes it so much easier too. Like at the start of the season, just buy, you know, a pallet worth of whatever golf balls that you're going to use and call it. You get a discount anyways, the more you buy. So just.
What is the most annoying product to buy in golf? And why is it golf gloves?
It is golf gloves. It's 100% golf gloves.
I'm going to start telling. You got to start telling your buddies and family members, people who buy you golf stuff. Like, look, I get it. I'm the golfer. You want to buy me some golf stuff? Golf gloves. Here's my size. I don't care how many, what color, what version. I don't care. Just let me have a closet full of them to not worry about.
That's a really good idea. I'm just going to list, like, when I make out my sort of Christmas list, it's just going to be like 20 lines, just golf glove.
Yeah, like
M/L.
Different brands. Different. Yeah. Oh, buddy. So are you going lower next year? What's your plan?
Yeah, I think I'm going to really, I've really gotten away from quality of my golf game because it's like I mentioned when we were out last weekend, like I have all my video camera stuff out. And so I'm doing that. And that's kind of what I'm concentrating on. We're trying to get different shots and that's the whole thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I've really sort of put my game on the back burner and I don't want to do that. I want to be better. So yeah, I'm going to take this off season and I'm going to do some different sort of things. I'm going to try to, like, you know, I usually have a golf club somewhere within 3 feet of me at all times anyways, but I'm going to try to do, you know, get to the range a little bit. I'm going to try to do a little bit more stretching.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I need a little bit of air gun action. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Get myself some of that stuff going on and really try to make some improvements. Cause I'm on the cusp of being good, but I've been on that cusp for like 3 or 4 years because I really haven't tried to be better. So I got a little complacent in my golf game. Yeah.
We'll be rooting for you. And I really hope you're willing to come back on the show because this was an absolute blast for me. An hour's absolutely flown by. I want an update and maybe we do this before the season even gets started again, to see what you've laid out for us. And, yeah, because I expect big things out of not just you, but Golf Origin Stories next year. I really encourage any of you out there, if you're not familiar with Chris's podcast, it is so much fun. It is nostalgia that you didn't know you had because it's someone else's story, but it also feels like it's kind of your story. It's really cool. It's nice to recognize that we're all kind of coming from a different place to get to the same sort of outcome, and that's just the love of the game. So, Chris, parting thoughts?
I don't think so. That was well said. Thank you for doing that. No, thanks for having me. And if we do another show and if it's video, everyone can get a glimpse of.
I'm going to get a
view and view here.
I just realized the picture behind me is a skyline. So that's pretty funny.
Look at that.
It's the cheap version of Chris went for the real thing and he had to pay extra for the parking spot. All right, my friend, you can steal that soundbite. Do whatever you need to do. Anyone, please go follow Chris. And if you are golfing this weekend in a state where you can actually play golf, please have fun, play well, and let me know how you do. See you soon.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.